Okay, good evening. Woo, this is good stuff. This is really, really important stuff. You know, every time I say this humbly and I say this sincerely. What we're learning is so powerful. I'm reading these words and I'm like saying to myself, wow. Like, we're all in this to motivate ourselves. Like right now in this beginning of the Sefer, I'm blown away that we're all here to learn this together because it's such important material. It is so, you know, honestly, if I would have told you my day today, I'm sure we all could say this, but I'll speak for myself. It was, besides being sleep deprived, which I'm always, just a question of what degree, so now I'm in a high degree of sleep deprivation. It was so intense. I had so many juggling acts going on at once. And I'm telling you, most, not all of what I was doing was actually pretty important things. And like, you know, holy matters in some way, form, or fashion. And yet, you can commit, I could have completely missed the boat today. We could all, you know, we live a life caught up in so many things which demand our attention, which demand our time. Some of them are great things, some of them are important things, and some of them less so. But even with that, I know the ladies in this room are doing all kinds of great things and important things and wonderful things. You really could waste what we're doing if we don't have that direction, have that boost, you know. And, you know, it's remarkable. I'm sure at some point, sometime, I said this story before, that someone once asked for a soul savant or a gentleman, he had an hour a week, what should he study? So Rabbi Sol Salanta told him is study Musar, works like this. You'll realize you have more than an hour a week to study. And when you have the right perspective, you do more. You push yourself harder. And most importantly, you do it better. You do it with holier. And there's so many things in life that what you're thinking when you're doing it, how you're feeling when you're doing it. You know, if you give charity when your heart's into it, if you give charity and your heart's into it, you deal. I had, you know, a few, again, I'm sure I'm not unique, a few very frustrating realities. And by the way, when I say frustrating, very rarely, I mean, there are things which I think, which are personally frustrating, but I mean frustrating which have large effects on not just me. So, you know, you can deal with things, you know, and be frustrated or angry or anxious or a million other things, and you can deal with it calmly and successfully and with purpose and with understanding, depending on how you're dealing with things. And one of the things we've been doing is to live life, you gotta have a spark. Because if you want to climb the ladder of spiritual growth, you have to have a spark. So you discussed the first two sparks 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Then we start on this last motivation. The highest motivation is for perfection. Second motivation is for the spiritual world of, you know, for personal honor. Nobody likes to be second place. And in the Ramchal discussed that even if you think you don't care, you really do care. And number three is there is consequences. There's reward and punishment. And last week, we discussed that even the greatest tzaddikim, even the David HaMelechs, even the Avram Avinus, even the smallest things they did that were judged at their level. And why is that important? Because what we do makes a difference. Well, if when you make your bracha, you made a bracha on that? You said, I'm sure you did kavana, right? But if you said Baruch Atah Hashem, right, and you said kavana versus you didn't, will affect you your rest of your eternity. Nothing less. It will affect the rest of your eternity. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Right? And I say that when you make a brother, it will affect the rest of your eternity. When you smile, and you came in here and say, hi, you smiled. As opposed to, I don't know, everyone smiles. So I'm just, yeah. Part of you smile, it affects the rest of eternity. There's a reality. Right? What you do makes a difference. I mentioned the story about the Vilna's mother who pointed once at a place, and when she came to him in a dream, she said that for pointing, she got reward. Right? Everything has tremendous ramifications. Right? Things make a difference. Right? If you scream at your husband, it makes a difference. If you wear makeup for your husband, it makes a difference. If you're a neighbor, if you see somebody in shul who looks a little gloomy, say, how are you today? It makes a difference. These are tremendous. So the more a person's cognizant that there is a reality to reward and punishment, you push yourselves. It makes a difference. You know, someone was telling me they're living actually in Eretz Yisrael in a Haredi neighborhood. You know, it's great. I lived in Haredi. You know what Haredi means? Ultra-Orthodox neighborhood. It's a great life. You know what? The best part of Shabbos is in those neighborhoods, you walk in the middle of the street. In Harnof, they call it like the Shalzen Shuffle. What do they call it? Right? You walk on Shalzen. Like, Israel is great. You walk on the street on Shabbos. Like, it's not, you don't walk on the sidewalk. The streets are closed. So much Torah. Great things. But you know what? I know this because I learned in the mirror. I was in Israel for 4 years. You can be part of that and like completely miss the boat of life. You can completely miss the boat of life. You can be in the whole in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Come on, there's a lot of very cautious people there, very prominent, good people. But you could get lost in the minutia and forget about pushing yourself. You know why? This is true, by the way. There's pluses and minuses in all places. I say this many times. Wherever you live in this world and wherever you're all in this world, you will be tested. That's Olam Hazeh. So if you're in this Haredi neighborhood, you will be tested. If you're in San Jose, you will be tested. If you're in New York, you will be tested. Right? Wherever a person is, you can't escape life. And life is about being tested. Right? But and there's pluses and minuses all places. But I'll tell you one plus you have here that you don't have there. So there you have other motivational factors. You have like great people around you. But you can't... There you can go on cruise control. You know what cruise control is? Cruise control, you just like go with the flow. Here, you can't go on cruise control. You go on cruise control, here you're going downhill. You go like, right? You don't pop, so here, you gotta push yourself more. Yeah, there's no such thing as cruise control in the Bay Area. You know what cruise control in the Bay Area is? Stone. That's where you cruise to. Right? That's where, you know, to San Francisco. Right? Straight there. You're going in the wrong direction here. You cannot be in cruise control here. You could be in cruise control in Harnof very easily. And guess what? You'll miss the boat of life. That's what it's going to be. Because a person's judged on what they could do, not what they're doing. It's what you are able to do when you do with it. That's what the judgment of life is. So depending on who we are and where we are, we're judged according to that. And the bottom line is we should be motivated to realize that our actions are important. And even the greatest tzaddikim, there are tremendous ramifications for the actions. I mentioned last week, you know, if a lower employee of a company, let's pick Facebook. So if Sergey Brin's company, right? Facebook, everyone knows the company, right? You never heard of them. You should visit Santa Clara. You can see the company. Down the block from Cisco. So, if a lower employee in Facebook makes a mistake, okay, it's bad. If Mr. Brin makes a business error, it affects the whole, thousands of people can get fired. Avram Avinu makes a mistake, tremendous ramifications. Right, tremendous ramifications. When you have children, it's not just you anymore. You make an error with children. You know, there's realities to that. It's not, you know, husband and wife fight. You have kids, there's going to be, there are realities, right? If you're a rabbi, you know, whenever I hear of a scandal, and they're not that many, but they are there, of a religious figure, I shudder. I mean, I shudder because I know that it's not just this person who messed up. He ruined lives, or she ruined lives, people. You know, you're a rabbi, you do something illicit or scandalous, it's not just you. You could really damage people's lives really badly. I mean, that's the bigger you are, the more ramifications. So Avraham Avinu messes up, even a small mistake has tremendous ramifications. And we brought this to remind us that for ourselves in this world, you want to be pushed to do something? You know what all of our problems are to some extent? We don't take what we do seriously. And somebody very recently, in the past hour, I saw a prayer. I don't really know. If they knew that God hears every prayer, you know, if you knew that Hashem heard every tefillah, can you imagine talking to Hashem? You know, can you imagine talking to having. You know what that means? How do we start Shmonasri Hashem Svasai Tiftach? God with my mouth, I should speak correctly. That's what we say. You know, you say Ata, Ata. What's who's Ata? You, Baruch Ata. You God. You're talking direct conversation. I mean, this is our greatest. The more we are realized that what we do has tremendous ramifications. Actually, I was teaching the 12th grade girls yesterday. I'm teaching them about Shabtai Tzvi. Everyone heard of Shabtai Tzvi? If you didn't, you should listen to my history classes. Or come to the 12th grade class next Tuesday. I'll sneak you in. Right? Who doesn't want to be in 12th grade again, right? Because they get a little forever young. Right? So I'm talking about Shabtai. So in order to get Shabtai Tzvi, I had to discuss Kabbalah. And I gave him like a background of... Because really, Shabtai Tzvi happens because of the world of Lurianic, the Arizal's Kabbalah. And that world, and where they were, and all the persecutions. Anyone want to venture to say what year Shabtai Tzvi happened? Anyone? You were brave for saying it. No.
Less before?
No,
after?
No, way after. Look, I said that Arizal.
Later.
16th century? No.
1600s.
1660. Around the 1660s. So, yeah, Chalmanitsky, Tach V'Tat was 1648.
It was before the Baal Shem Tov. Yeah. The Baal Shem Tov came after that.
Yeah. Well, partially. It's right. All connected. So I was talking about Kabbalah. And I was trying to explain to these girls, I was talking about how the Kabbalistic world works. I gave them a very brief primer on the major Kabbalistic ideas of the Arizal, which affected how the whole Shabtai Tzvi thing occurred. But one thing, and I was telling what the major themes of Kabbalah, how God deals with the world, the idea of Tikkun, the idea of Shiras HaKelim, and of Sfiras, and the Tithus, which is very basic. If you don't understand all those things, you can ask the Tofke girls. But one of the things I stress to them, and what Kabbalah really opens our eyes to, is the power of our deeds. You know, if you would see when you're making a bracha, like, boom, how the whole world is affected. When you say Shema, the entire world is affected. You would say a different Shema. Like, we can't even imagine the power of our ideas. Really, the Zohar, and these kind of work, you know, God forbid the bad, you know, the Chavetz Chaim starts his works on Lashon Hara of the terrible spiritual damage of Lashon Hara. How damaging. And he quotes the Zohar. And the Zohar talks about, you know, people today on the internet, on these emails, woo! You know, what's it called? Voss is the app, right? You know, right?
What does that mean?
Voss is the app?
What's that?
It's if they be careful to say these things, right? Never heard of us as the app. It's a Jewish guy.
I'm sure they walk around Borough Park and Williamsburg saying it all the time.
It's all over Orange. It's like one of the most popular things, right? Yeah, what?
It's really what it is.
In English. So I mean, people. So what happens? Prince says an email. Did you see your address today? Or you're a student, not this class, boring class, right? Boring. Right? Now, so we think it's a Voss is the app, right? If you would see like nuclear explosions going around all around you as you said that, you wouldn't do it. I mean, that's just, even, you know, today, one thing about this technology, about, you know, it's being spied upon, even your emails, but if you would see like that, like just causing a nuclear reaction, you wouldn't do it. So what Kabbalah really does is it opens us to the power of our acts. And really, the Ramchal, who was one of the greatest, if not probably arguably the greatest Mekubal since the Arizal, stresses is you got to realize to motivate yourself how powerful our deeds are. So pick up from there. We're talking about that Hashem looks at every single deed, right? It's Pashir Mavur. It's obvious and clear. God is a God of truth. Vuma Shamar Moshe Rabbeinu Alav. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hatsur Tamim Palo, Ki Chol Racha Mishpat Kelamuno VeNavo." The Rock, Hatsur Hashem, is perfect in His work, Right? All of his drachim, all of his paths are of justice. He is a Hashem of emunah, of faith, and he has no vice, no sin, no iniquity. Right? Kikivan Shakadosh Baruch Hu writes in Mishnah, because Shakadosh Baruch Hu wants justice, right? He wants justice. He wants, and isn't that obvious, right? If it doesn't change everything that what we do is actually important, it's actually a great thing. You know, it's actually when you pray, when you daven, what we're doing is such colossal importance, right? You can't consider it justice if you don't look over things. Okay, in a mishpat who writes, it's actually eaten the chalish kedrochav ukrim pramav. Yeah, judge a person according to his ways, according to his paths. Remember your path in life. Where are you going? Where are you heading? What's your derech? What's your path? Are you a person who wants? Are you on the path of chesed? Are you on the path of spiritual growth? Are you in the path of doing more, trying to do harder, of being better? Where are you? What's your path? Which direction are you going in? God looks at us where we're going. You know what? As I mentioned last week, you know, if you see a child trying, you judge them. You know, you see their path. They're trying. They're making efforts. But someone's their path is callousness, careless. You shake them up. You know, if you're a parent, you're a teacher. You see a kid who can. You know, the worst is someone who just doesn't care, apathetic. You know, if somebody has energy and they're putting it the wrong way, there's at some level, there's more hope for them because you can just redirect their energy. Somebody doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. Anyway, Grossman, Tzach David Grossman is the Rav in Migdal Or, Migdal Emek, in Migdal Emek. He's the chief rabbi of Migdal Emek. He's an organization called Migdal Or. Thousands. You heard of Rabbi Grossman? So I know him very well. I know him for years. For many years. I think I mentioned over there a few of the stories with him. You know, I have met many, many people in my life. Many great. So he is one of the people every time I'm with him, I feel like I'm with a tzaddik around. So he had a following. So he himself is an organization of thousands of people. He won the Pras Yisrael. He won the Israel Prize. You know, he's a person who can have a conversation with anyone in Israel. He's, you know, many famous stories. When he's younger, they call him the disco rabbi. He would go into discos, pull kids out of discos. And there's a million stories about him. So he said he was once confronted, he was prinkma sign years ago, by a guy, a big Israeli, like, you know, big guy. And he gets this, you rabbi, and he starts screaming at him. And so he smiled. He says, "You're going to be a great Baal Tshuva." he had such passion, such. "You're going to be a great Baal Tshuva." And Kachava, the guy ended up being a Baal Tshuva, right? You know, because he had such passion. Like, religion actually bothered him. Now, I'm not saying in all cases, but it bothered him enough to go to Ray Grossman. So you just have to rechannel that. I'm not saying that's so easy. But if a person doesn't care about anything, you don't even care. You're lethargic. You know, there's a big loss in that, right? So you got to know your derech. Now, in general, as a rabbi, I'd rather be someone be lethargic than doing sin. But in theory, you can change the energy. Hashem looks at our paths, right? That's what we should look at ourselves also. What's my path? You know, you could be in cruise control. You could be cruise control. You can be, you know, surfing the waves your whole life. What's your path? Are you growing? Are you growth oriented? What is it? I'm trying to remember. I had so many shidduch calls this week. One just before the class. But this is not about shidduch. Oh, yes. It's a discussion, so my advice. And I was someone said, I said, the person's not so religious. Not, this is not the call I got before class. I always. So this is earlier. So I said to them, but where are they going? Are they becoming more religious? Are they growing? Are they growth oriented? Where are they going? Right? You know, where are you headed? Is there path one of being a good, you know, you're in marriage. What's your path in marriage? Is it to be a better spouse? Is it to be the same spouse you were 15 years ago? You're a parent. What's your path? You know, davening. What's your derech on davening? Are you working on davening? Do you take it seriously? Right? Where are you going? Because you're on a path. Now you may be working in circles. You can go in circles and get nowhere. And you're always just going in a circle. Hashem looks at those paths and he looks at our deeds. He looks at our paths and he looks at our deeds. B'tachlas hadikdik, with the most, we can't even imagine a judge who can see our total potential, what we could be doing, how we could be doing it. Bein l'tzayiv, Hashem will look at whether favorably, bein l'mutav, or unfavorably. In a kelamuna vein aval tzadik v'yasher hu. This is what the pasuk says, that God is a God of faith without any iniquity. He is righteous and fair. Shapir su chazal, the Gemara says in Tainus, l'tzadikim l'rashayim, ki kachu amida. This is the attribute of din, of justice. Right, you were judged for everything, and you do an avera, there is a consequence. Right? Why is he telling us to push us? Not, you know, if you anyone ever go for a job interview, if you don't take it seriously, what happens to you in that job interview? What do you think?
You don't get the job.
You don't get the job. Anyone, you know. You ever, anyone, you go on a date, you know, you sometimes give people date advice. What happens if you go on a date, you're slovenly, you know, you don't brush your teeth, or, you know.
No second date with that person.
No second date, no, absolutely not. Maybe not be second date anyways, but there's no chemistry, but you caused it, right? Well, you know, if you don't take it seriously, you're not, nothing's going to happen, right? And if you want to say, Imken, where's Rachamim? Where's mercy? You know that God is a Kel? He's got a mercy. Right? Kel Racham V'chanon. God is a God of mercy. So we just said Hashem judges every deed with exactitude, exactly. Where's mercy? We know Hashem, there's no one more merciful than Hashem in this world. Nothing can compare to the Rachamim, to the mercy of Hashem. It's a good question, Mrs. Fagan. You like it? It's not my question. It's Ramchal's question. Right? Where is the mercy of Hashem? Right? Where is the rachamim? It's not on that phone.
For sure.
The answer's not there.
Definitely not.
Okay. Making sure. Midas rachamim lama hu amedis. What's the purpose of mercy? If God's going to look at every little thing we do, how we did, our past, our possibilities. Hachuba, what's the answer? Midas harachamim who came on the world, we could not live without rachamim. Right? We wouldn't be here for 2 minutes without rachamim. Right? We would mess up. We would not be able to come back without God's mercy. Right? Let me just explain to you something. The Ramak in Tomer Devorah, which I taught about, I don't know, like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, Shabbos day. I used to give a class after Kiddush. I did the Ramak. I did Tomer Devorah, it's a classic Musar Kabbalistic work. The Ramak, Ramoshe Kor Devorah, who the 12th graders learned about yesterday as well, I'm wanting to understand what you're talking about, Achet. He says, imagine the following thing. Imagine you have a spouse, right, cheating in front of their spouse, right in front of them. Right in full force in front of them. Could you imagine, God forbid, such a terrible avala right in front of them? But imagine the following thing. The spouse is cheating on the spouse, right in front of them. And at the same time, the good spouse is giving life. And at any minute, it can take away life. So the Ramak says is when a Jew sins, Hashem's everywhere. Hashem's right in front of us. Right here, right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees everything right in front, and he's giving us life. So as we sin, Hashem's, you know, the person's doing the worst of errors. He's speaking Lashon Hara. He's eating pig. I'm picking on the men because all ladies and none of you are doing this. So he, right? He's eating pig. He's screaming. Fighting. Hashem's right here. Right in front of Hashem. And not only is Hashem right here, he's giving you life. For a second, Hashem doesn't give you life. That means to do a chate. I want to ask you what you would do. Let me tell you what a normal person would do if they saw their spouse cheating in front of them. Right? They would, some, not all people would take a gun and shoot them. But a normal person would leave forever. Period. Now, one thing is, if someone's a low life to cheat, you should also, most likely, right? But in front of you, right in front of you, there's no human being who's normal would stay with such a person. No one should. Such a behemoth. Such a lowlife. Right? In front of you, right there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we sin, it should be, if we did, we should be dead. And he's giving us life as we sin. You know? As a person eats a cheeseburger, as a person is Chal Shema Chal Shabbos, he's giving you life. You know, as a person, you know, goes ahead and, you know, whatever, you know, any think whatever tabo avera. It's his life. So really, din says that Ramchal should be, there's no second chances. That's it. You did this. How could you? I just gave you so much. I gave you chaim. I gave you life. I gave you, right? Izelafin kishuras hadin mamish. Right, because if you take Jin's strict application of justice, hayruay shechaita. You're a little kid, you see the lightning should zap you. You know? Lightning should zap you. I remember I knew somebody. This person thought they were a witch. Anytime you did something personal, they'd curse you. They felt like if you say that, I was like, this is what's going to happen to you. Like, you're going to die. You don't know who you're messing with. Like literally, like they thought they were like some kind of sorcerer. And you know, but in real life, you don't think about it. If God, you do that, you should be zapped right away. It's not a joke. God, God's giving you life. So, the Liam Tanaklal, the Gama Oynish Atzmo, so there should be no punishment. Just like if you would see your spouse, not no one here, if someone would see their spouse, you wouldn't have any, you wouldn't wait and say, I'll give you a second chance. Let's talk about this. Oh, you meant well. It's in front of your eyes. I'm talking about Mamish in front of your eyes. You know, there'd be nothing to do there. Great, Shemamre Pia Boris Baruch Shabo. Right, someone who defies Hashem, shouldn't be as any second chance. You know, anyone who's a parent here, you see someone taking your kid and smashing his face in the ground, the kid's walking innocently, you smash your kids, you're gonna say, you know, oh, let's talk about this. I forgive you. Took your kid and smashing, beating blood. That's what you're gonna have. I don't have any mercy. You see somebody, a Jewish person.
Mercy,
it's rachamim. Mercy, rachamim. Yeah. How do you fix that? How do you fix that? I just mentioned to you, and when you open your eyes to Kabbalah, you spoke Lashon Hara's nuclear bombs going off. Like, how are you going to fix that damage? Like, it should be immediate. You know, just today, I was getting off of the 17 by Hamilton. It was a car accident. Like, cars flip out, the guys on the ground, all hurt, and like, you know, people around, like, you know, you hurt someone, it's not like a, get to rewind the clock, you know, the person in professional life can have back pains, who knows what, you know, and there's worse things that can happen in a car accident, it's, you know, it's not like things just disappear, you know, you hit somebody, you just don't get to reverse the clock, you do a chait, you damage someone, you damage something, well, it didn't should be. That's just the reality. Right? You know, there are words that are said, even between people that love each other, which you are very hard to go back. And sometimes never you can, people can't. You know, which is important how a person speaks. You know, before or sends emails, please, I beg you, never send a strong email before waiting on it. Or Voss's app. Right? Ever. Because you will regret it. At some time, and by the way, emails are the worst, because actually, For a while, I used to collect. As a rabbi, I get crazy emails. I've got accusatory emails, and sometimes really 99 out of 100. I'm not saying because of me, or like off base, like crazy stuff over the years. And I used to save it and look back, and the person, I say, if I would chose this person today, they would feel so dumb. I'm telling you, I can show you. But I erased it because I don't have to keep these people's emails. My first couple of years, I kept them for a while, and then I said, what's more about keeping these for? I erased them. Not just erased them in milliseconds. I don't get them every day, but then once in a while, I get these crazy emails. And an email sticks around. It doesn't disappear. Not everyone erases their emails. You can send a person an email 10 years ago, and they can hold it. They can, it's there. And it's, one of the things that I mentioned is technology teaches us today, whether it's video cameras, whether it's recordings, whether it's emails, that our actions can be held against us years later. This guy who stepped out from the labor secretary today, it was from a videotape from 1990. He should step down. I don't know. I can't step him down. But, or he resigned. There's a videotape of him 26 years ago. Man, 26 years ago, they brought a videotape of him. You know what that means? 26 years ago. You write something, you say something, it could be held against you for years to come. It's not a joke. It's really, people got to be careful. You got to be very circumspect before you say things to people that are hurtful. I'm not talking about strong. I'm talking about wrong. Wrong. There's how are you gonna fix that? You send the person an email. I'm just thinking. Very rarely do I get them directly, but I do have got some things. But often I get forwarded from husband to wife or. Somebody asked me to settle business partners, and you see what they really write to each other. Crazy stuff. You are the evilest words. Look at this email. I'm happy. I need to show you for context. Here, look at this email I get. Crazy things. Who in the world sends such kind of emails? I'm talking to people who are married. I'm talking to people who are friends. I'm talking to people who are mother-daughter. How in the world do you send such things? People don't think. And let's say you do send it. You just take an eraser. I think, are you still able to pull back emails? To retrieve them? I don't think you can do that anymore.
But then it's a really short amount of time.
Because you could?
I think so.
But if someone email someone on Gmail, you could pull back the email? If they open it?
No. Once they've opened it,
it's gone, it's right? It's open. It's open, yeah. It's not this, there's realities, right? Hari, Sharatzacha de Mischavero. You murder somebody. What are you going to do about it? Hari, Shanaf. You did adultery. Echroz adavar. Ayuchal hatzer ha-maisa yas mitzis. Am ne minas ha-rachamim. Right? What Hashem does, Hashem's mercy, Hashem's kindness, is she eats in it gives every person a chance to fix it. It gives us money, it gives us time to fix what we need to fix. It's very generous. Now, we wouldn't be generous if we knew someone's spouse was right in front of them doing something. We'd be generous if someone taking your kid smashing their head into the rocks. I forgive you, I'll give you some time to make amends. You're not so generous. Right? Especially if you're, and there's no way we can imitate this, but at the time that you're literally giving them life, you're really literally supporting them physically, spiritually, on every level. So Hashem, first thing of Hashem is rachamim, mercy. He gives us opportunities to fix. You have time to improve. Remember one thing, drachav, what path are you on? Where's your path? What's the path you're taking? Lo yichachem in ha'aretz k'shishchachem. It's not eradicated the first second of sin. V'sha'anes atzmo, remember you're punished. Not to the point of destruction, right? In this world, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for mitigating factors. And Hashem gives chesed, listen to this, of tshuva. You can pull back the email. You can erase the email. you can pull back that, you know, like, you know, there's I don't know if it's ever occurred, if you can have like a movie where you go back to the future and like erase the past, right? And like imagine that kind of reality, right? You can like literally go back and erase it, right? You can go back, that like person cheated, just disappeared. And you're just like, it's not there. You go back, and instead of screaming at somebody, you're very nice. You fix, that's a tremendous thing, tshuva. What an unbelievable, tshuva. Tshuva has the ability to cleanse. Because that, isn't that rachamim? Does that exist in our world? Right? Somebody does a terrible thing, you murder somebody, you ruin the company, you don't get to do tshuva? No? Tshuva? Is there tshuva if you ruin a company? No. Tshuva if you doesn't work that way.
It would be nice if humans were like that.
No, it doesn't work that way. Imagine tshuva, this guy with car, could you fix the car going back? Doesn't go in this world that way. But in the eternal world it does. And that's tremendous rachamim of Hashem. It's tremendous mercy. I'm calling it elaborates on this. Dahainu should be also shah makar eschata, when a person who repents realizes his error, his sin, umaydebo, and acknowledges, umisboinen, and cogitates and contemplates and ruminates and thinks, al ra'aso, how bad it is, how terrible this is. The shav and repents, does tshuva, returns to Hashem, umischarat al charat de gemura, and he has a complete regret, didikar retroactive. Becharata saneder mamish, right? Like for example, if you made an oath, you want to completely uproot that. Shumisnachem legamrei. You never do that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do that. Umitztar by chafetz mishtoikek. You wish that you could just take it back. I wish I never sent an email. I wish I never made that line. I wish I never screamed. Like, you know. You know, when you're a parent, you wish you never, you have kids, like, you wish you never did it. Like, you know, I wish I would have done this differently. You just wish. I have that feeling also sometimes. I wish I never did this. And you feel great pain if it does. And you leave it, you don't do it anymore. You stay away from it. This akiras hadavar is like you never did it. It's like it uproots the sin. Right? It's a tremendous, that's tremendous rachamim. Now, by the way, I'm going to stress this. We're talking about motivate ourselves. Tshuva can fix all negative, but positive it won't give you. You do today, you do a good deed, you go home. I have a challenge for everyone. When you go home tonight, every one of you, that'll fail. Do a good deed. Staka. Call someone up, send someone a nice email, pick one thing tonight. Hey, just do a good deed. You know why? Because you'll never get that opportunity again. You can't get it back from tshuva. You can be nice to your husband. You know. They'll thank me in the morning. Hey, no, seriously. Do a good deed. You know, doing, tshuva could erase. It's tremendous rachamim. But doing, either did it or didn't do it. Hey, either, you know, you either study Torah if you're a man, or you don't study Torah. Either daven, if you didn't pronounce tefillin, you didn't daven. You didn't pronounce tefillin, you didn't daven. Right? You gotta either do it or you didn't do it. Right? You do a good deed. Sfig, you're gonna be a rich lady this weekend. You're gonna do a great deed. Unbelievable. You're gonna say for a Torah, it's such a beautiful thing. It's really, it's unbelievable. So I'll give a word of encouragement. We learn things when you get home. Just pick one good deed that you wouldn't have done otherwise. Something special, right? Send an email to a relative, right? Write a check for charity. Say a prayer for a Jew who needs it. Pick a good deed. Either do or don't. You can't go back and create something that wasn't done. You can fix. You cannot create. Right, you cannot create. Tshuva is though going back to where we are. Tshuva is tremendous rachamim. It doesn't work that way in the real world. Vumasha amar akasa. This is what Yeshaya Isaiah says. Bisara vonecha, your sin, your iniquity is removed. Vechataska to chaper, and your sin is atoned for. Sha'ovan sar mamish ramitzias nekor, that this sin, right, is expunged. Even if you opened your email, it's gone. Right? Again, I you know, if I can make a tshuva movie, right? Whatever, Back to the Future tshuva, right? Like the guy would be running to do a sin, and then he'd be running to the base measures. He just turned the, he would go back, it wouldn't exist anymore. Right? A lady dressed provocatively, no, she also has shit sleeves. Yeah, it's really good, right? It's a good thing to have. The tshuva's a wonderful thing. It's a chesed. It's such rachamim. No? Ms. Snyder, it's a good thing? Fantastic?
How do you know you're doing it right?
You should be jumping for joy. We should all be like, wow, this is great. This is rachamim Hashem. How are you doing it right? What do you mean? What's your question?
Like, how do you know you're doing the tshuva right?
How do you know it's full tshuva? Full tshuva. So no one can ever know when they're doing it right. And what happens in life is not, I don't want to... we actually will get to tshuva later on the Sefer, but tshuva is like David Melech did tshuva his whole life. It means the more he understood, the more he appreciated God, the more he reinvented it. But they're basic to tshuva. You feel bad, you say vidui, you atone, you articulate it, and you decide to never do it again. You've done tshuva. That's basic tshuva. And not so hard, not so easy. Right? Well, the not easy part is you have to want to never do it again. For a moment. If you want to never do it for a moment, right, at that moment, you did tshuva. Okay? V'ze chesed, v'adai she'enu mishur sedem. This chesed that we can do tshuva. First of all, God delays any punishment. And even if we ever get punished in this world, it's only... And by the way, whenever something bad happens to us, it's to make us better in this world. There's nothing that happens to us in this world that's not for a reason. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. And I will tell you one thing that's very important. The Mashkiach from Lakewood, Matzal Salman, always says, there's two ways that a person could often do tshuva, for people God cares about. One is to learn Mussar, what we're doing now, that helps us to fix us. Another way sometimes is the hard knocks of life. That's the other way. You get knocked to the ground, and you're forced to change your life. The best way is what we're doing, to change ourselves by understanding what we're supposed to be doing in this world. If you're a coach of a team, anyone ever play sports? Anyone ever play sports? I used to play sports in my youth. Now I play treadmill. It's also
Who
so
wins?
What?
Who wins? You
and
the treadmill.
Depends on the night. So I'll tell you. I used to play basketball. I was a great home run hitter. I hit a field goal once in a while. Fantastic. Well, what happens if you're a coach of a team, right? If your team's not playing, what happens? The coach say, "Yay!" So if you're doing, if you're pushing yourself, the coach will say, "Okay, you know," and you're learning that you're applying yourself. The coach say, "Oh, do this. He'll work with you, right? You're working yourself. No, do it a little better this way." What happens if you're messing up and you don't care? You'll get benched. You're on the bench. You do more push-ups. You get screamed at. I had a coach who threw a ball at my head at 100 miles an hour, and he was no. He was a strong African American. He threw a ball at my head like it was a basketball, but he threw it like a baseball. Fortunately, I ducked, but I missed a layup. I think I don't remember what it was. It was an open layup in over practice, whatever it may have been. I'm not advocating that. I don't think he came to a muster class in his life, to say the least. But you know what happens. You know, you don't perform. You're on a team. You pay the price, and that's how Hashem deals with us. You know, if He sees we're working, He'll work with us to get us to where we're supposed to. If you don't, there's lots of wake up calls in life. You can have difficulties, God forbid, other things. And doesn't mean there's no guarantee. A person could have sickness or difficulty, and they're working because there's other reasons for that. But. We're here in this world for a purpose. Yeah, again, He's not trying to scare us. He's trying to motivate us, right, to make the most of life. Realize our actions are important. And we talk about din. Don't think God's not. God is more merciful than anyone in this world could ever be. But mercy is not to let us. Mercy would not let us to drive off a cliff. Is that merciful? If you're a coach of a team, you let your team be a terrible team. Mercy is if you're a teacher, right? You merciful is if a parent disciplines a kid. Why? Why is it for the parent's sake? No, it's for the kid's sake, right? You know, yeah, you know, with boys, you got to teach them certain things, and girls teach them other things. I'm not going to get into details here, but there's different things you got to teach these kids. If we don't teach them, it's not to their benefit. Whereas Hashem's more, but He gives us time. He lets us fix things. But you know, it's a chesed. It doesn't erase justice. But it doesn't erase it. It means if you, time doesn't erase it. Either you fix the sin, or you don't fix the sin. Even in life, as a metaphor, if you go in a relationship, right, if you have, let's say, you tell somebody, I hate your guts, you're terrible, you're awful, blah, 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 where you do something really vulgar or hurtful, and then the next week you're very kind and generous, right? Let's pick on the men again, right? That's for the, you know, if you're married, right? Your husband says, not your husband, you are smelly. and screams at you for being smelly. And another one shows smelly. And he says your food tastes like, spoiled. And he says this house looks disgusting. And the next day he buys you flowers. And never apologize. He says he buys you flowers, tells you you smell great, house looks beautiful, food tastes delicious. This is for 6 days. But the first day, and he's screaming at you. What do you think? Does he win you over that way? You're still going to think, what did you say 6 days ago to me? Now, he'll have to, if he apologizes. Now, I will say this is for all of, if anyone ever apologizes and they really feel bad, you should always move on. Most marriage problems happen when you can't move on. Somebody sincerely realizes they made a mistake and they apologize, move on. I'm not without an apology right now. Sorry, there's no apology. Just good things. It doesn't take away. So God rewards the good. But if you did bad, there's a reality to that. Unless you do tshuva, it's still there. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't go away. And you gotta fix. You gotta be able. You have to be able to fix it. Right? Kol shor darchech, as all the Hashem's do, kiyem bro mazaka abba, like a child. You know, a kid. There's a gentleman who came tonight this afternoon. He's been coming the past couple weeks, saying kaddish for completely. Non-observant. Completely non-observant. You know, not married to a Jew. Very non-observant. But he's saying Kaddish. Tremendous. You know, it's a good thing. It's hopefully Kshie got him to go to a class. What?
A step in the right direction.
It's a step in the right direction, yeah. And there have been people who have become, because of that step in the right direction, have changed their whole lives completely. But even the idea of a child fixing his father, it doesn't take away the bad that the father did. It doesn't fix that. You say Kaddish, it's a merit. By the way, a child does something for a parent, it's a merit. And you know, but if the father stole money, was a bank robber, that's still a reality to being a bank robber, right? You know, Kaddish doesn't take away the being in the bank. It gives a merit to a father, or a mother, or a spouse, right? You know, but if the woman was, Heidi, the bank thief, you know, and she passes away at age 82, never returned the money, and now her son, you know, Mark, comes to say Kaddish for Heidi, and now Mark over time becomes Muttel, or Malisha, right? You know, so every Kaddish she does, she gets rewarded for it. Nothing less. But the bank thief, she didn't rectify that? There's a reality to that. No, he's a bank thief. If you're Bernie Madoff and you stole from people and you just damaged their money, you damaged their whole lives. I mean, it's real. You know, there's realities to it. So it helps. Oh, mixes nefesh. Kol nefesh is a concept of part of a soul. It fixes the entire soul, which is not for now. It's you get injured to a limb instead of the whole body, which is the chum bring down, or darkei chesed to get some takes the place of a lot. It means they're qualifications of judgment, but there's still justice, right? To think that God doesn't care. I've had ladies tell me this. I'm very rarely do I have men, but ladies say this. I'm a good, I, God understands. I don't, men don't say these things. You know, men are, you know, like, God will be understanding. Men say, oh, I'll be okay. I don't really, you know, but later, you know, God, God's, you know, God's like, you know, like a mommy. God's a mommy. You know, mom, you ever see mommy sometimes, their kid cheats in school, the kid punches the friend, you know, the kid's the bully. You ever see a mommy of a bully? Well, my son's not so bad. You let him go. My son, God's not a mommy. God takes me, he has a Torah, this week's Parsha, he gives a Torah, I mean, seriously. He'll give rachamim, he'll give time, but there's reality to it, towards it. If you think that God's going to say, you know, you did that, don't worry about it. No, worry about it. Worry about it. Take it seriously. It's actually the kindness of Hashem, which she takes her actions seriously. Right? Right, for sure there's justice. V'chan amru chazal, marach ape, that God is actually a medrash, and the Gemara, and the Yishalmi, marach ape, God delays his anger, v'gavah delay, but in the end there's a collection day. You know, you can give a person time, chances, but then there's a reality at the end of the day. Nimsa! So we find ourselves. She'ela adam ha'raitz levkoch, if you don't open your eyes, right? Now, this is the end of chapter 4. The last part, right, about Zahiras, about going vigilant. You know why? Because the rest of the book is going to talk about living a Jewish life, being a passionate Jew, taking advantage of it. But you need to have that spark. You know why? Otherwise, you're going in circles. Otherwise, you go on cruise control. Otherwise, like this. There's no spark. You know, there's no excitement. I was just looking at someone daven today. The person started coming to the shul recently. So excited. You know, there's a spark. It's great to have a spark. It's fantastic to have a spark. You know, Bali Tshuva get it. Or you know, I can tell you there are people in Lake of the Mirror have tremendous sparks. You know, but often if people have sparks in certain areas, not in other areas. You need a spark. You know, they get a desire of you know, not to be motivated, to be pushed, to be excited, to be passionate, to be, you know, you need a spark, you know. I always sometimes use the metaphor of marriage because really it's a good muscle for life. You can be married and not have a spark. And that's terrible, by the way. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing to be married. You mean living and not have a spark. You gotta have a spark of excitement. So now just to summarize, we have three long paths how a person can have a spark. You don't want to open your eyes. You can't be persuaded to do what you need to do. Levilti Yizara Maitsev Atachas Azihiras. Right? To be Ladakti Pem Tachlis. Right? Adiktuk and Kohashkas Shiaskalim Adam. Right? If you're a person is not motivated today, if you're going through life, you know, you know, just like I told you, I met somebody who told me they bench once a week on Shabbos. They say, Berakah Zalmaz, and the grace after meals once a week on Shabbos. I said, what about the rest of the week? Do you eat once a week? So I said to him, listen, if your belief is that you're not at that level today, today I'm not there. I'm going to get there. I'm on that path. I can hear that. This is who you are the rest of your life. You're the same way at 65 as you were at 25. You don't want to be better. I mean, in anything in life, you don't want to be better. You're an employee who doesn't want to be a better employee. You're a wife who doesn't want to be a better wife. You're a parent who doesn't want to be a better parent. You don't want to be a better person. And most of the people, you don't want to be a better Jew. Then you should learn the Sefer, he says. Review this chapter. Right? Review this chapter to make yourself want to be better. Because guess what? If you don't want it, you don't have that desire. You don't have that spark, you're going to miss the boat of life. You may go cruise control. You know what it is? A person will be... and that's... There's a loss in this world, and there's a greater loss in the true world. That's a loss now. Never see... You know, it kills you if you have a person, if you have a child, or a student, or a friend. You just see... not performing. It hurts too. What about ourselves? You don't want to be able to perform? You ever see, you see a young, healthy person, you know, sitting there drunk on the street. What do you think, they're idiots? You see a person, let's imagine, you see a person who went to pick a secular example, went to Harvard or to Stanford, or a brilliant person went to Penn, right? And instead of performing, they're drunk on the street. They're playing marbles. They could be creating, and they're good looking, and instead of that, they're eating Subway sandwiches and becoming fat. You know, and say, look, wouldn't you look at them and say, Nebuch? Why would you say Nebuch? You could do so much more. Hey, you could be so much greater. What are you doing? Do we want to be that person who doesn't perform the way we're supposed to be in this world? He says, to take our things seriously. Kol hashkafas, these three ways, these are the perspectives that you have to think about. Right? If you're, you'll for sure get a person, get it. If you review these and chazer them and look them over and over, you'll for sure be motivated. In Baal Nefeshu, if you're a believer, right? Obviously, if a person's an agnostic, it's not the first book you're going to look at. But if you already have Emunah, and you review this over and over, you chazer this, you review this, certainly you'll create for yourself a spark. What we do with that spark, we'll continue with next week. Thank you.